The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 580 WCHS, its employees, or WVRC Media. 580 Live is presented by Thornhill Automotive and is broadcast live from the Parmar Stores studio. From the studios of West Virginia Radio Corporation, the country, the United States of America, the state, West Virginia, the city, Charleston. This is 580 Live, and your host of 580 Live.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
He's kind of a big deal.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
Dave Allen.
Hey folks, good Monday morning to you. It's 580 Live at the Voice of Charleston, WCHS from the Parmar Stores studio. Sears Monument Hotline, 304-345-5858. Fruit Pharmacy text, 304-935-5008. You can follow me on Facebook. It's Dave Allen Radio on Facebook or Twitter at DaveA70. Caitlin Murphy serving as our producer today. Again, the Sears Monument Hotline number 304-345-5858. Fruit Pharmacy text 304-935-5008. We do the show each Monday through Friday from the Parmar Store studio. If there's not a Parmar Store near you now, there will be soon. All locations of Parmar Stores are now hiring. You can just go to the website parmarstores.com/careers and get ready to go to work. And remember, there's not a Parmar Store near you now, there will be soon. Well, as we do normally on Mondays, we kind of devote Mondays to a little Q&A about the city of Charleston, and we have with us today the Chief of Staff of the Mayor's Office, the immortal Matthew Sutton. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good. After a week long of public courts and working in my garden all weekend, I am almost immortal. So.
Lovely weather, too.
It was tremendous weather. Yeah,
nice, I said that tongue-in-cheek because we had a downpour in Charleston about 10, 15 minutes or so ago.
Yeah, so it's always one of those things, too, especially this summer, as we've had storms all throughout. But for the most part, public courts, we had great weather. Mm-hmm. It was a little bit hot, but we had great weather, and then got to get some work done, so it was a great weekend.
We'll talk about the public courts a little bit later on. We've got several things to talk about within the city of Charleston. Of course, it's Q&A. It's open information for you about anything going on with the city of Charleston. If Matt doesn't have the answer, he knows the person that has the answer. So we'll get it for you, and you can call in at Sears Monument Hotline 304-345-5858 or text Fruit Pharmacy text line 304-935-5008. And also proud to have with us today, made his debut on the show, as far as I know, Brian Cooper from City Center Live.
Yeah, it is my debut, I guess.
I guess.
Yeah.
It is,
good
man.
Morning. Thanks. Well,
nice to meet you, man.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
All right. Let's start. Matt, you can jump in anytime. You're the semi co-host on Mondays now. What exactly is City Center Live? Talk about this.
So we had the idea. Oh gosh, Matt might remember more than I do. It's been several months ago now that we came to the city and said, "Hey, you know, this awesome new park is coming into play. What are some of the things that we could do there? What kind of art events? What kind of music events? What can we do to get the community coming out?" We put a committee together. We started meeting about every 2 weeks. City officials, people from my organization, with Charleston Creativity Connections, local artists, local musicians, a couple of production people, some city council people. And we would meet and just talk about what would be cool in this space. Something different, something that has like built-in small audience. We're not looking for like the next Live on the Levee. We're talking, you know, what's the random thing floating out there that would bring people to do the thing they love in City Center. And that led to City Center Live, which is we launched officially about a week and a half ago now, or 2 weeks ago, actually.
So what will people see when they come out of City Center Live?
So City Center Live, we're doing events every Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. Thursday, it'll alternate between Open Sky Open Mic, which is just like it sounds. It's an open mic night out in the park, all ages. Anyone can come out. If it's not that, then it will be Get In Line, which is our line dancing night on Thursday nights at City Center. Those two have both been very successful already. And then on Saturday, it rotates between three different programming. Theater in the Park, which will be theater productions right there on the stage of City Center. If it's not that, it'll be Praise in the Park, which will be local praise bands coming out, hopefully doing some hot dog sales, barbecue sales, then having their praise bands perform. And then if it's not either of those, then it's going to be Starry Night Serenade, which will be a mix of string quartets or brass quartets coming out to do that in the park. And then every Sunday, from now till the end of September, is Brunch and Jam, which will be a concert series in the park. There'll be food vendors, a mimosa stand, Community comes out, pitches a picnic blanket, grabs yourself a drink, a really good burger, hangs out, listens to some local musicians. It's pretty fun.
It is a very eclectic mix, Brian, from what you're telling me.
Yeah, it is all over
the place.
I mean,
anytime you use the term line dancing and you also throw mimosas in there and praise teams.
It really is everything. And line dancing has been, I mean, they've all been surprising events. Line dancing, I have to admit, was maybe the most surprising event. I'd heard that people like line dancing. I showed up that Thursday night. This was actually just this past Thursday. I had no idea how many people would show up. A couple of times, there was like four or five people there. I'm like, well, this is cool. You know, anyone there is a win in my book. They're dancing. This is cool. By the end of the night, there was one point where there was 50 people in City Center all doing some dance I'd never seen before. And none of them really knew. I mean, there's an instructor there teaching all these people. So completely first-timers was working right in with each other. And here it was, you know, 50 people from all walks of life, ages. It was amazing.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things, and Brian hinted to it when we first kind of came through and put City Center together, even before City Center itself was built, one of the things that the mayor was keen on was not just building a park and then letting it sit there, right? So we needed to make sure we had programming and things for people to do. So, you know, the synergies that have existed around City Center and the BID District and the Greater Kanawha Valley Foundation, the City of Charleston have really, and the creative connector that Brian runs, have really, you know, this is the brainchild of all of that. So early on, before the park was even built, I know the mayor met with Will Carter and Lewis Payne of the BID District and kind of started to play these seeds of, well, what are we going to do? We've got a park, we've got a place people can be, but we've got to do stuff in it. It can't just sit there. So that's where Brian and his team and a bunch of creative folks got around and said, let's have some fun. And I remember seeing the list of things being like, what is some of this stuff? But that's what it's about. It's about having something. I like Brian's idea too. It's not about creating huge audiences, right? It's about having stuff that people can come to, enjoy themselves, and be something different that we've really never seen in this city before. And his team, who's taken on the efforts to book all this stuff, so far so good. And you've had good weather so far.
Yeah, we've gotten lucky. We got rained out yesterday. Brunch only happened for half the time that we had wanted it to. But, you know, if you got there earlier, you got to have a full first set of music, and you had time for a couple of mimosas and a couple of hamburgers.
I'm interested in the open mic. Talk about that, Brian. I mean, what exactly is – how open is your mic?
It is open mic, all ages. Something I hadn't realized until this first event was there's Folklore Music, who is one of our hosts. They do an open mic night. I think they do theirs once a month, I believe. I could be wrong. But it's not that regular. But the most regular open mic are at bars in town, which means our kids can't do them. So I hadn't predicted how many teenagers would come out to perform. I had no idea how talented they would be. I didn't know. But they got on stage, and there wasn't a single one that I ever thought, let's wrap this one up.
Have a seat.
It was not like that at all. It was super great. We offer 7 spots, 3 songs or 10 minutes each. But those kids, you know, up on stage, you have the 5th Street patio is packed, like literally the tables didn't turn over the whole time we were there performing. And the idea, as I stood around and looked, there was about 50 people watching that night, to see a 17-year-old girl debuting some of her own personal written songs with everyone in the park watching, everyone on 5th Street now listening to her. It was awesome. I mean, it was really, I thought it was super, super cool. Something I had not predicted and just really cool to see, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, I think anything we can do to get kids out, but I mean, you know, when I was talking about it, I didn't get to go to the first one. Hopefully we'll get to go this week. But I don't know that I could have at 17 got up in an open mic instead in front of somebody and just started playing songs that nobody had ever heard before.
Yep.
So it's really awesome to give this outlet to not only kids but to adults for the creative side. And I think that's really, you know, we think about what Charleston has become over the last several years. We've really shifted to this really strong arts and music and entertainment and culture a hub in this area, and I think this only adds to that even more, especially giving people more exposure. And you never know where it might lead, right? I mean, you just go to an open mic and
somebody's got to start somewhere.
Yeah,
you know?
somebody hears you, because we've got, you know, professionals there and we've got instructors there as well. Somebody hears you, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're working with some of our local bands, and then you go from there. So, I mean, I think it's an amazing opportunity, and something that, more importantly than anything, it took a group of people, you know, that Brian led to just say, let's try it. Let's see how it works. Not knowing what was going to happen. We've never done
no clue
like
whatsoever
this before.
And I mean, it could have been all a flop. I mean, honestly, I mean, that first open mic rolled around, I thought, man, will anyone want to, like you said, I couldn't imagine at that age willing to get up on a public stage in a park. I mean, we're not talking just some small coffee house. Everyone walking by and hanging out downtown is now hearing you. So to take that step and do that, I didn't know how many people would be willing to do it. Turns out, quite a bit.
So, is he open mic primarily for musicians, or do you do like comedy, spoken word?
We haven't done that. I mean, we're not filtering anyone. So if somebody shows up and signs up and decide they want to do spoken word, we're definitely not going to, you know, yank them off the stage with the big cane or anything. I mean, and anyone's welcome to come do their shtick. So yeah, sure.
580 Live is brought to you in part by the Thornhill Auto Group, where summer is here, and the Thornhill Automotive Group invites you out to Thornhill Ford's Summer Supercharge Red, White, and Vroom Sale. Come check out the all-new 2022 Bronco and Bronco Sport, EcoSport, and the Ford Explorer 2. The Red, White, and Vroom Sale now. Thornhill Ford, US 119 in Chapmanville, and online at thornhillford.net. Is there a place online where people can go see a schedule of events? Because yep. I know you got several different times and days there.
Yeah, you can go to citycenterlive.com. Our events are all listed there. And then also you can check us out on social media, City Center Live. You will see all of our events at all of those locations.
Yeah. God, I mean, I think the other thing too with this is please come out and attend, because one of the things we want people to see is the different uses the park has, and so that people can get ideas of what they might want to do for events, or if they want to do family events or things like that. So just come out and see. And again, it's free, so you don't have to pay anything. You just come out, you hang out, you can eat downtown, shop downtown, and participate. And really get an idea of what can go on at City Center, and really get an idea of how much talent we have in the city of Charleston throughout a lot of things. I'm going to be excited to come and attend. I promise you I'm not going to the line dancing night, Dave. I don't need a twisted ankle in my life. And that's what happens when I dance. But I think it really is one of those things that is something for everyone, and we're really excited about it as it grows. And I think to Brian's point, if nothing's set in stone, right?
Oh, yeah.
Who knows what this might turn into?
I mean, that was all from our beginning. We said if we can come up with, we didn't know how many programs we wanted to do the first season. We thought, let's get a well-rounded mix, and then let's see what happens in years to come. And it wasn't three events in that I am now getting flooded with, hey, let's do a blah, 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 or let's try the blah, blah, blah. So I can already see that in the future we might be throwing some one-off events in just to test things out. And I definitely think by the time season two rolls around, we will be looking to expand those days and offerings for sure.
Well, and the thing about, you know, what you're talking about with this sort of activity is that it's, as you said, it's a work in progress. And if people attend and they come down and they take a look at it and they go, well, let's try this. I mean, I'm sure you're going to say, okay, yeah. Why not? Because I mean, that's how the whole thing started to begin with, well, why the heck not, you know? Yep.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's it. It's really about trying new things, getting people to experience new stuff, and really enjoy all that Charleston has to offer in a very, you know, calm, relaxing, and quaint setting. And I think that's really, as we move forward and we look at what City Center has become, I really can't overstate this synergy that having the Business Improvement District on Summer Street and in downtown Charleston, and what that has done to allow us to do a variety of different things throughout the entire area, but especially in that Summer Street block, having more people, more eyes watching, more people thinking about what we can do. But having the bid district, you have the Greater Kanawha Valley Foundation sitting there, and of course Brian's group with Creative Connectors, all in this synergistic type scenario, right in the heart of downtown Charleston, it is already starting to deliver high dividends. I can't imagine what's going to happen in the future as the bid gets really established and gets moving forward with when City Center Live gets its feet underneath it and we really get moving. This is all worked out really well and will continue to work out well into the future. And it just shows when everybody in the community comes together and has one goal in mind, this is what we end up with. We end up with crowds of people who have probably never participated in anything like City Center Live, but that's what they want to do. That's what they want to see out of their city.
Yeah, I mean, the speed of which that has changed has shocked me. I mean, as a resident of Charleston and just a fan of that, I mean, I love our town. I just do. To go to these events, remember what it used to be like in that space, see what it's like now, see the businesses that are there along Summer Street, and know the new businesses that are coming to Summer Street and the potential there. Watching people, for example, at Get In Line last week, I saw an older couple, I should say, come out of Brawley Walkway, and they were holding their bags of to-go from somewhere downtown. They had no idea what was going on in the park. I watched them from across the street look over, had a funny look on their face. The guy started like doing a little jig as he stood there. And the next thing you know, they come across the road. They set their to-go items down on a table. His wife sits down at a table. And then he proceeded to dance for the next like 20 or 30 minutes in line dancing. I mean, those are people that I know, I could see the look on their face. They came through Brawley, surprised what they were finding, happy to see it there. And then now they're joining in. I mean, it's such a sense of community that I'm super proud of our town.
9:22. We're talking to Brian Cooper from City Center Live. Give us all the details on the schedule again. Just go from there.
So yeah, every Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. Thursday nights, open mics.
What time do you start?
7 to 9 on Thursdays, both of those. It'll either be open sky, open mic, or get in line dancing. Saturday, those times are different. You'll have to check the calendar at citycenterlive.com to see which events happen when. But praise bands in the park, theater in the park, or Starry Night Serenade. And then every Sunday, brunch and jam, which is from 11 till 2, concert series in the park, City Center Live, every Sunday.
Ryan, do you have social media presence? You mentioned the website. Are you on Facebook
and
Twitter and all that
other stuff? Twitter, just Facebook and Instagram, City Center Live. You can check out there. We post pretty regularly things going on. When we have like a rain delay, we had a rain delay for our first theater event. Actually, another great story. First theater event, awful day of weather. It rained and rained and rained. It was the Children's Theater of Charleston was production that night. I go over about an hour before we were scheduled to set up, and they were there with U-Hauls full of a full set. I mean, those people came prepared. They had a full set. They had all their costuming. Didn't know what to do because here it is raining. We decided to push it back an hour. I thought, man, this sucks. They put so much effort into it. I didn't want to cut them out completely. So I said, let's just roll the dice. Let's push it out an hour, see if anything changes. 8 o'clock, they were set up and ready to go. The rain did break. And at 8 o'clock, after being delayed and raining all day, there were still 90 people that showed up to watch those kids perform that day. I mean, that's what, again, our community is always surprising me. And that was pretty awesome.
Ryan, I appreciate it. It's a pleasure to meet you, and don't let it be the last time you're on the show.
Absolutely.
You're always welcome here, man. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Ryan Cooper from City Center Live, 580 Live, brought to you in part by RX Vitale. If you're not satisfied with your current pharmacy, check out RX Vitale on the west side. Ask them about their RX Bipacks. Those are pre-filled pouch systems which divide up your prescription doses perfectly as prescribed by your doctor. RX Vitale on the west side. They are your neighborhood pharmacy. Caitlin Murphy is our producer today. We're going to take a break. Matt Sutton from the city is hanging out with us with questions and comments, anything city related. He is here to take your questions. Text to Sears Monument Hotline for calls is 304-345-5858 and Fruit Pharmacy text line 304-935-5008. From the Parmar Store Studio, it's 580 Live and the voice of Charleston, WCHS.
Brought to you by the Eric J. Tarr Family Businesses. Eric J. Tarr Family Businesses want to thank you for supporting local small businesses.
It's time for a celebration. It's Red, White, and Broom on the Thornhill Motor Mile.
Hey, it's Sydney inviting you to check out summer savings on our entire inventory at the Thornhill Motor Mile.
We've got your keys to summer with more vehicles, more lenders, more options, more coverage, more for your trade, and no payments for 90 days.
Plus available 0% APR on most new models.
It's a celebration of family fun and the 4th this summer with Thornhill Automotive.
No matter what summer adventure you have planned, we have the vehicles to get you there.
Don't miss Red, White, and Vroom on the Thornhill Motor Mile.
Shop online anytime at thornhillautomotive.com.
With approved credit, must qualify for offer. See Thornhill for all details.
Get lucky with a job you're going to love at Mardi Gras Casino Resort. Mardi Gras is holding open interviews this Thursday, July 21st from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. for positions in gaming, hotel operations, line cooks, food and beverage staff, and more. Want a fun work environment? Flexible hours? Increased starting wages? Then Mardi Gras Casino and Resort wants to meet you this Thursday from 11 to 4. Delaware North is an equal opportunity employer.
Some X's are a real pain in the backside, but Omega Commercial Interiors has the X that's all about stress-free comfort. Hi, I'm David McCormick, owner of Omega Commercial Interiors, and I'm talking about the amazing X chair. Infinite recline, dynamic variable lumbar support, and available heat and massage make the X chair a customer favorite. Omega Commercial Interiors has X chairs in stock and ready to ship. The X chair is the X you'll love to see every day. Learn more at OmegaCommercialInteriors.com.
Not running your businesses on NetSuite is like trying to sink a putt with a cap pulled over your eyes. NetSuite by Oracle is the number one cloud financial system, giving you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, budgeting, and more, all in one place. 93% of surveyed businesses increased their visibility and control after upgrading to NetSuite. Over 31,000 businesses already use NetSuite. NetSuite has a special financing program for those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/markets. netsuite.com/markets.
Presented by RX Vitale Pharmacy, your neighborhood pharmacy on Charleston's west side. Proud to bring you RX Bipack, a pre-filled pouch system which divides your tablets and capsules into multiple day doses perfectly matched to your doctor's instructions. Learn more at rxvitale.com.
That's 27. It's a Monday edition of 580 Live, the voice of Charleston, WCHS, the Chief of Staff of the Mayor's Office of Charleston, Matthew Sutton, is here. Serious Money Hotline, 304-345-5858. Fruit Pharmacy text, 304-935-5008. Again, a phone call to 580 Live. Our service of Serious Monument Company, offering quality memorials since 1911 with locations in Charleston, Huntington, Beckley, and Parkersburg. And texting services provided by Fruit Pharmacy, your hometown family pharmacy. Now, I got to get this in, totally unrelated to the city. Well, I guess it sort of relates to the city, as it does everywhere, and that's weather situations. We've been, you know, getting weather alerts right and left. There's flash flood warnings for several areas, including Putnam County and Cabell County. I just got an alert a couple of moments ago that folks on the Four Pole Creek area in Cabell County are urged to seek higher ground. Man, this has been some intense weather we've had. Crazy. I know last night in Taze Valley, we had a massive storm that rolled through 5:30 or so yesterday evening, then another one late tonight, and one early this morning, and then we had a downpour, as I said, about 30 minutes or so ago, and that's the way it's going to be. But this flash flood watches and or warnings, depending on where you live, are going to happen. So
yeah, it's been crazy. I mean, I know our public grounds crew has been out, and street department crew have been out, I mean, nonstop for the last month and a half, getting trees out of the way, picking up branches, running chipper orders. And then not to mention all of the work that the line folks have to do for American Electric Power and everyone else to try to keep everything going. It has been a crazy summer of storms. There's no doubt about it.
Any problems with any flooding issues? Usually what happens in city areas, whether it's Charleston or whatever, it's not so much flooding as it is backed up drains and things of that nature. Any problems like that?
Not last night. Not that I saw any reported last night or today. At least in my house in Kanawha City, we didn't get it that bad yesterday. But we've had them. I mean, we've had them in certain areas. But I think our biggest thing so far this season has been the wind with the trees, and you don't realize how many trees are actually in the city of Charleston. There are quite a bit, of course, everywhere, but down trees, and typically when there's a down tree, that's going to involve a power line, and then we have to work with the power company, because we certainly can't touch any trees that have live power lines with them as well. So it's been a challenge, but I think most importantly, again, you know, we can always pick up trees. We just will make sure everybody stays safe and gets the heads up and the warning. So if they do need to go to high ground, to listen and go, because these storms have been very unpredictable. We want to keep everybody safe. We can always plant new trees and fix power lines, but can't fix people. So
580 Live is brought to you in part by the Charleston Dirty Birds, your hometown baseball team. For more about their various promotions, they're on a road tour, I think, again. But they have lots of activities planned when they do come back home. You can visit them online, dirtybirdsbaseball.com. Again, the Charleston Dirty Birds are your hometown team. We'll talk about scooters a little bit. We touched a little bit with it, Matt, on Friday's show. City Council tonight is going to address a bill to authorize the use of motorized scooters within city limits. Now, there's a complete story about it posted at WVMetroNews.com. The council's Public Safety Committee approved a bill during its meeting last week, and Councilmember Emmett Pepper is the lead sponsor. He was actually on Hoppy's show talking about it last week. You know, a similar thing with these scooters happens in several cities around the city. St. Albans is probably the one that's close to us, and reviews have been mixed there. Now, as I understand it, it would not allow for scooter rental companies within the city, at least not yet. They're just trying to authorize. What exactly is the ordinance on the books for scooters in Charleston? And it's going to be, I guess, addressed tonight at City Council.
So as it sits here right now, they're not allowed. But it's very difficult to enforce. And it's something that the police department has talked about for a while. It's just difficult to enforce a lot of traffic laws. You know, you got to be there to see it, but also some of these things are difficult to tell the difference between a bike and a scooter sometimes. So it's very difficult to enforce, but right now they're not allowed. And this change in ordinances to allow them to be used in certain situations with roads, I believe less than 30 miles per hour, in traffic where there aren't pedestrians that are walking, to allow for, you know, residential use residents to use the scooters to travel and get to work. You know, today with gas prices, the price of vehicles, toughness of getting to vehicles, adding something like scooters for personal transportation makes a lot of sense. But of course, as you said, the bill doesn't address or have anything to do with bringing in a company to do rental scooters. That would be something completely different that the administration and city council would ultimately have to decide. This just handles the residential use of them.
All right, we'll get back to that in a couple moments. We do have a phone call to get to. Let's go to Don. You're on with Chief of Staff Matt Sutton. Go ahead.
Good morning, friends. Matt, got a situation there on California Avenue and Washington Street East. You come up on that light, and that light may stay red for 4 minutes, and just wondering if you can get somebody to take a look at that, because it greatly impedes anyone having to make a left onto California right there.
Say those cross streets again, and I'll have somebody look at it today.
It's Washington Street East and California Avenue.
Okay. All right, we got it. Yeah, I know Andrew's listening. I took a note, so, yeah, we'll have somebody take a look at it. I appreciate that.
Well, another thing, too, Matt, I don't know where we send suggestions for the regatta, which was fabulous, and hats off to all you guys. I'd like to see the Clay Center play a bigger part in that, meaning something free for the kids to do, you know, to help stimulate their young minds. And also, what about the Civic Center and perhaps even the Taste of Charleston coming back?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, well, first of all, for, you know, you can go to the Regatta's Facebook page and put stuff there. If not, you can just call the mayor's office, 348-8174, and give your suggestions there. I know yours will be taken down because our staff listens to the show and is taking notes. But, you know, with the Taste of Charleston, a lot of people asked about that. But that now has turned into a festival event, and it is Taste of All. I'm gonna get wrong when they have it, but they have it sometime during the year. So trying to spread some of those out. But I think involving the Clay Center is a really good idea. I think, you know, with anything, as we said, we got the first year under our belt, and now we get to sit down a little bit and see that it worked and figure out how we can bring in more partners. I know we've already talked with the owner of the baseball team, Andy Shea, on how we can work with some things over there. The Clay Center makes a lot of sense. So I appreciate the suggestion, and we'll absolutely have those conversations, because the more we can do to spread around town.
Did we ever get any numbers on the amount of revenue generated?
Stay tuned this week. We'll have some later this week. Yep.
All right, Don. Appreciate your call. Thanks a lot. And what Don was talking about with that traffic situation, California and Washington, I think it was, my producer Caitlin was nodding her head profusely at that. That must be something that she is affected by. Is that right, Caitlin? Yeah.
Very good. Yeah, I think those are state areas, but we'll work with them to see what we can figure out.
Now, you said that there would be some numbers possibly released on revenue and things, and it does take time. And again, even if you have numbers this week, that's not going to be the total numbers, because you've got an event like that. It does take time. And we touched on it a little bit with Tim Brady on the show last week. Just kind of, you know, from afar at this point, success. I mean, overall success.
Yeah, I think so. Right? And I mean, I think that it was tremendous success. The economic impact numbers, the economic, you know, revenue in the city, I think is something we knew was going to be big. We're still trying to figure it out, because I think we're still getting a lot of data. I know Tim with the CVB and their group get a lot of cell phone data that comes in. we're working with a lot of our vendors. I mean, I'll give you one example. Them two brothers sold 2,500 pounds of meat. I mean, that seems like a lot. I mean, it sounds like a lot. Yeah. One of the lemonade stand people ran through 10,000 lemons, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think, you know, just getting anecdotal information about that, talking with a restaurant or downtown. But when we released the economic impact numbers, over the next couple of days and week, you know, it's always going to be a moving target, but really excited and really happy for how everything turned out. The biggest thing is trying to figure out the crowd. I mean, we had so much going on and so much spacing, but I do know one of the things that is very important is that our hotels were booked. And according to a lot of the information that the CVB gathered, we had a large percentage of people who were coming to the regatta, who were coming from 50 miles away or further. And that's what we want. Not something only for Charleston, but for people to come and visit our city and see what we have to offer.
And I can tell you, having been on that end of things, I'm involved with the CVB where I live now in Putnam County. One of the things that you don't want local people, don't get me wrong, but the further away people come, the more likely they are to spend more money. Because, you know, if you're coming in from South Hills, you know, you may visit a food truck, but you may also, you know, have something before you leave the house. If you are coming from Proctorville, Ohio, for example, you're more likely to make an experience of it and go shopping. So you want to encourage the local folks to come, but you also want people from far away. And that's one of the things with the regatta going back in the day when it was at its peak, you know, in the 80s and 90s. I mean, I've said it before, you know, growing up in southern West Virginia, I mean, everybody from, you know, Logan on down to Williamson, Beckley, I mean, it was just a thing. People went to the regatta, and many of them stayed for a couple of days.
Yeah, and I think that's the key. I mean, you know, we know our hotels were booked, but the other thing in Charleston in particular, and we all know this, is we have a lot of people, you know, that I grew up with who no longer live here, who were coming back to town, but they stayed with their parents or they stayed with their aunts. So you can't always capture that number. But that's, again, it's the same thing. You know, think about when you go on a travel and you go to Columbus or whatever you do, you got no choice but to spend your money places, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's a fast food restaurant or a local restaurant or whatever it is. And that's what we want. So the more people we can draw in, I'm not sure that we expected this big of draw in for people who are out of the area. But now that we know we can do it, again, it's about learning, figuring it out, and then expanding that reach as we go into the future of bringing more people into town. We want something that is, you know, with the things that Brian does with City Center Live, that's going to be a hyper-local thing, right? We're going to pull people from St. Albans and South Charleston and other areas, but that's going to be super local. We have something like the Regatta. To get our return on investment, we need people to come in from out of town, and we were very successful with that this time around.
And as I mentioned on the show last week, you know, by the nature of what I do here every day, people don't always call or text in any talk show to say, attaboy. Yeah. You know, usually it's a complaint. And I can tell you, sitting behind this computer every day, that there were very few complaints about the Regatta. And if it was something very minor, and it tended to be more of a suggestion, you know, yeah. How about, like, kind of like what our caller Don just said, you know, things, how about doing this or how about doing that? It was, I'm not saying that there weren't negatives, but there were very few that came into the show.
Yeah, and I think that's what it's been. What we've seen is we've seen a lot of, did you think about this? How about adding this? And there's nothing wrong with that. The more the merrier. I mean, that's how we got to a lot of the events that we have. But we kind of take that in. We do have a limited amount of time and space and budget. So we've got to try to see what works and what doesn't work. And the mayor has always been in everything that we do, talks about sort of the rule of three, which giving something 3 years to make sure you got to figure out, right? The first year, you're always going to try it and you're going to see whether it works or not. The second year, that's when you kind of tweak the first year and try to get it in the shape. It's that third year that really counts and really is the one that you want to sink your teeth into. And that's the year you're going to make sure you get it absolutely right. But I will say, you know, to tease out a little bit, in recent memory that anybody can find, especially as these calculators have been going on for economic impact, there has been nothing in the city of Charleston that comes close to the economic impact that the Regatta had. Our biggest events that we've had historically have been the state high school boys and girls basketball tournament. And combined, they don't come close to what the Regatta produced. So it's going to be it's very exciting. But I think most importantly, as you look at these numbers, they are important to see. But what really is important is the fact that people like Dino over at Delphia said he had the best weekend he's had in 11 years. And Chuck Hampshire over at Purple Moon said they have never had a weekend like this. Even talking with Vincente over at Vino's, you know, they said 4th of July is usually not a weekend. They have a big weekend, and they had a tremendous weekend. So it is those things, too, where it's like you see the numbers, but this is the numbers you're going to see are sort of they look kind of abstract in the sense, but they are real dollars into local businesses and local servers and, you know, people who are making, you know, three or four times the tips in a weekend that they made traditionally. So that's what it's really about. And that's what I think as we move forward with, we work with our business partners to make sure that we're as prepared as possible and we can grow this thing to make sure they continue to bank on having this type of business into their, or this type of revenue into their business. I know a lot of the vendors out on the street that were working at the Regatta, some were saying that they made in one day what they would make at five live on the levees. So now they can bank that into their revenue systems and figure out how they're going to do and plan their events. But what we know is I know that we've talked to Brian Hughes, all the Sternwheelers are ready to come back, and Jane Bostic will tell you all the vendors are ready to come back plus more. So, yeah.
Well, and what happens when you have an event like this, especially with the Sternwheelers, is word starts to get around.
That's right.
And, well, you know, and they all talk to each other, you know, well, how was your – and the same with food trucks. That's right. You know, there's like a little – like a little union, I guess, for lack of a better term, saying,
community,
and they're texting back and forth. Well, how was the event? Well, if it does well, I may go the second year or whatever. 19 minutes away from 10, Sears Monument Hotline, 304-345-5858, Fruit Pharmacy text 304-935-5008. 580 Live is brought to you in part by Husson's Pizza. Well, this month you can buy any regularly priced 18-inch pizza and get a 2-liter Pepsi at no additional charge. Visit hustonspizza.com for more details. Chief of Staff from the Mayor's Office, Matthew Sutton is here. Your text and phone calls are welcome. We're back after this for the Parmar Store Studio. It's 580 Live on the Voice of Charleston, WCHS.
The brand new Generations Physical Therapy for Nitro and Cross Lanes is an Eric J. Tarr family business. Speak directly to your local physical therapist at generationspt.com.
It's time for a celebration. It's Red, White, and Broom on the Thornhill Motor Mile.
Hey, it's Sydney inviting you to check out summer savings on our entire inventory at the Thornhill Motor Mile.
We've got your keys to summer with more vehicles, more lenders, more options, more coverage, more for your trade, and no payments for 90 days.
Plus available 0% APR on most new models.
It's a celebration of family fun and the fourth this summer with Thornhill Automotive.
No matter what summer adventure you have planned, we have the vehicles to get you there.
Don't miss Red, White, and Broom on the Thornhill Motor Mile.
Shop online anytime at thornhillautomotive.com.
With approved credit, must qualify for offer. See for all details.
Quality that's through the roof. J. T-Bay Roofing is now your certified GAF Master Elite Contractor for the Kanawha Valley. That means when T-Bay installs your new GAF roofing system, it comes with a GAF Golden Promise warranty for up to 50 years. And it's even transferable once to the next homeowner.
Quality that's through the roof. T-Bay Roofing.
Put your trust in the Kanawha Valley's premier roofing contractor. Get started with a free call to 844-PRO-ROOF, and T-Bay will get you a free estimate within 24 hours. Remember, each T-Bay roof comes with a GAF Golden Pledge warranty for up to 50 years. That's 844-PRO-ROOF, and find out more at tbayroofing.com.
Quality that's through the roof, T-Bay Roofing.
Did you know that most homes and businesses in West Virginia have some sort of foundation settlement problem? If you're experiencing a settling foundation or sunken concrete slab, call the professionals at Marco Concrete Lifting. With the most advanced solutions and engineered equipment, your structural stability is their top priority. Marco Concrete Lifting can provide a structural engineer referral upon request. Protect your biggest investment, your home. Call Marco Concrete Lifting today at 722-LIFT. That's 722-LIFT.
Presented by RX Bytel Pharmacy, your neighborhood pharmacy on Charleston's west side. Proud to bring you RX Bypack, a pre-filled pouch system which divides your tablets and capsules into multiple day doses perfectly matched to your doctor's instructions. Learn more at rxbytel.com.
Sixteen away from 10, Sears Monument Hotline, 304-345-5858. Fruit Pharmacy Text, 304-935-5008 from the Parmar Store Studio. It's 580 Live. Caitlin Murphy is our producer today. I'm Dave Allen, Chief of Staff of the City of Charleston. Matthew Sutton is with us, and I know you're a big sports guy. Are you ready for football season yet? Yeah, I'm always ready for football season.
Yeah, I'm ready for football season. It's not my sport that I follow the most, but my favorite thing about football season is I always, Saturday morning, sit down at Smokehouse and have breakfast, and the crowd gets bigger and bigger when football comes in because people come in and talk and watch. So it's always fun.
Well, I bring that up because it's about time for another Inside the Huddle with Tony Caridi. Now, if you're a Mountaineer fan, be sure and join us on Thursday, August the 4th at the Ball Toyota Event Center on Patrick Street starting at 5:30. Your chance to hang out with Tony and talk Mountaineer football. Tickets are $75, and table sponsorship for companies are available. Proceeds will benefit the United Way of Central West Virginia. If you need more information, contact the United Way, cwv.org, or call them at 304-340-3500. Brought to you by, among other folks, the Voice of Charleston, WCHS. So I'm looking forward to hanging out with Tony. And not to be outdone, my alma mater, Marshall University Thundering Herd, also doing their Paint the Capital City Green event. And I'll have more on that a little bit later on. I want to go back to the regatta for just a moment. We kind of touched on it last week, and I know meetings are going to be held. You don't need a decision right away, but they're, you know, originally the regatta was held around Labor Day, and then this year, because of some scheduling things, went back to around the 4th of July, and then there was some talk, well, next year we'll move it back to around Labor Day, but then you saw the success this year. Any progress on that in the last week? Or are we still kind of up in the air as when it'll be next year?
A lot of it's gathering information. I know that they've talked to the Sternwheelers. We're talking to the food truck vendors and the carnival vendors as well to try to get their sense and really see where everybody wants to be. I think there were, you know, a lot of pros and cons to both. Mm-hmm. But I think that the you know, looking at it now, I think that people were a little bit interested to see whether the 4th of July would work. I mean, I think a lot of times, especially in Charleston, people have left town, but a lot of folks stayed around. I think more people to plan for it. And then again, the Labor Day, the, you know, one of the nice things about it in the past was that school hadn't started yet. But now it has. And then you've got, you know, you could run in WU football, Marshall football, high school football. I mean, so there's a lot of pros and cons to both. But I think even from the vendor perspective, that's kind of the end of the season for them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, getting something like this in the middle. So I would imagine in the next week or two, but by the end of this month, we'll have a date set. And then there's other things going on in town that we've got to sit and coordinate with. Festival, the Pride Parade, Multifest, and others that we just need to make sure we can all make sure that all this can happen. And at the same time, as we've said, and the mayor continues to say, we've got to make sure we can do it all, but not kill our city workers in the process, because it's a lot of work to do, especially in the heart of summer.
Well, and the thing about it is too, is that this year the 4th of July was on a Monday, mm-hmm. and there's going to be times in the future when it's on a Wednesday or Thursday, and how's that all going to play? Whereas Labor Day, you can always count on it being on a Monday.
Yeah, I think the one thing we looked at too is looking at the schedule, because that was one of the things that I know we talked about very early on. We are skipping. Wednesday does get skipped this year. So in 23, it's on a Tuesday. In 24, it's on a Thursday.
Okay.
And then Friday. So it would be a little bit down the road. But it is still something to look at because you constantly would kind of be moving that schedule around. But if done right and you have that general weekend and promoted correctly, I think it can work. And it is clear that it works that weekend. So we just got to figure out whether or not that's the best thing moving forward.
Speaking of which, Tech says, no Labor Day. Football interferes.
There you go.
So you're not going to make everybody happy. Yeah, no. Also, Tech says, Dave, good catch on using community instead of union for food vendors. We don't want you taken off the air for using subversive language, according to – that's the only word I could think of is what I was – like an organization or you know, or whatever.
But it is a community. I think that they do, and there's a lot of – You know, I wish I would have been there or folks like that. I mean, we've gotten a lot of calls from people that said, oh, so-and-so said, call you about being able to come in. So it is how it operates. But
I'm going to go back to the scooters just for a moment. Again, that's going to be addressed at city council, and the city council meetings are at 7 o'clock tonight. Does the city, and I know you can't speak for everybody, and it passed the safety committee, I guess it was.
It passed planning, streets, and traffic first.
Is that what it is? Okay.
And then the safety. So it was dual referenced.
All right. So now it's up for discussion, I guess, tonight at city council.
Yes.
Is there an official stance on behalf of the administration, or just kind of stand back and say, all right, let's just see what happens? How does that work?
Well, I think we kind of, especially the bills that come from council members, obviously, just like the legislature, anybody can introduce a bill and then individual members of council can take their position. For this one, I think we all, it was introduced. We had some input, especially in the committee process, because a lot of, from our perspective, the administration's perspective was, we want to make sure we do this as safe as possible. Because, again, with the eye being for sort of personal use as we sit here right now, making sure we aren't around pedestrians, so not on sidewalks, and making sure that we have rules in place so people can't just leave their scooters everywhere, and having certain miles of speed limits. So safety, public safety being sort of the number one forefront. I think as the committee, because it was introduced, it was amended in planning, streets, and traffic, and then it was amended again in public safety. So there's been a lot of council input. I think it's in a really good place right now. There are still some issues that can be addressed, but I think a lot of those can be addressed in the future. This kind of clarifies up where we stand right now, and being able to have, so we have, rules that are in place, but then at the same time, leaving us the flexibility that if we do go into the future, because a lot of these things with the rideshare programs and the, not rideshare, but the e-scooter programs that people are renting and leaving places, a lot of that's finding the right partner and finding the person who's going to come in and run a program the way that you want it to be run in your city. Just because it's run one way in one city doesn't mean that's the option you have to have. So you come in and you figure it out and say, listen, we're not going to partner with anybody who's going to let scooters sit all over our city.
And that is a problem in some other cities. Sure. And if you heard when Hoppy had Councilman Pepper on last week, he referenced Austin. Yeah. Well, that's a town that Hoppy obviously knows a lot about. And so it is a problem. And we even had, calls and texts to the show last week about it being a problem in St. Albans with people just leaving them, various places. But I think we might be comparing apples to oranges here. I mean, is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think, Charleston and Austin don't have a lot together other than there are a lot of people from Charleston that live down there now. It's a beautiful place to be. We go down there and play football. But no, I think, again, it has to do with creating a program. If Charleston chooses to go down that route, and in my office, there's not been any conversations about a program because we aren't there yet. But creating a program that mirrors what you want in your city. So if somebody comes in and, we want to do scooters in your city, but we let people leave them wherever you want. Well, no, we're not going to do that. Mm-hmm. We want it to be done this way. And it's working until you find the right partner and don't rush into it. You just don't take the first person that comes to you and says, hey, I want to do this. But at the same time also, it's being flexible enough to creating a contract that says, maybe we're going to try this, but if we don't like it, we're going to get out of it. But again, that's kind of down the road. Right now, I think the biggest area is when you look at a younger population and some older folks that, especially in downtown living in different areas, can we create a transportation system that allows for people to not have to own vehicles? Charleston's a tough city to do that, but we've got to take steps to do that. And having scooters be allowed is one of those steps to be able to take. But making sure people are doing it, following traffic laws and doing it safely is going to be the key. And I think that's what this addresses as we sit here today.
It is 9:51. I kind of referenced this a little bit earlier before we go to break, but I will get this in here. We are about ready to paint the Capital City green. This is Marshall University's annual event. I know it's huge for the city. I know the mayor's office is also very involved in it. It's happening on August the 25th at the West Virginia International Yeager Airport, starting at 6:30. A lot of Marshall players and coaches are going to be there with proceeds benefiting the Big Green Scholarship Foundation. If you need more information about that, call 304-696-4661 or just email biggreen@marshall.edu. and it's all happening again on Thursday, August the 25th. We have the Chief of Staff for the Mayor's Office, Matt Sutton, is here. Your phone calls are welcome. Sears Monument Hotline, 304-345-5858. Fruit Pharmacy text, 304-935-5008. From the Parmar Store Studio, it's 580 Live at the Voice of Charleston, WCHS.
The brand new Generations Physical Therapy for Nitro and Crosslanes is now open.
Get your appointment at generationspt.com.
It's time for a celebration. It's Red, White, and Broom on the Thornhill Motor Mile.
Hey, it's Sydney inviting you to check out summer savings on our entire inventory at the Thornhill Motor Mile.
We've got your keys to summer with more vehicles, more lenders, more options, more coverage, more for your trade-in, no payments for 90 days.
Plus available 0% APR on most new models.
It's a celebration of family fun and the 4th this summer with Thornhill Automotive.
No matter what summer adventure you have planned, we have the vehicles to get you there.
Don't miss Red, White, and Broom on the Thornhill Motor Mile.
Shop online anytime at thornhillautomotive.com.
With approved credit, must qualify for all for C-Door. For all details.
If you're not satisfied with your current pharmacy, then check out RX by Tel on Charleston's west side. Of course, they'll fill your prescriptions the old-fashioned way, but they also have RX by Pack, a pre-filled pouch system which divides your tablets and capsules into multiple daily doses, perfectly matched to your doctor's instructions, eliminating possibilities for serious errors. No longer will you need to spend hours every week filling your pill binder. RX by Tel does that for free with RX by Pack. Visit RX by Tel on the west side today. They're your neighborhood pharmacy.
Trading in your business fleet or personal vehicle for a new one? Donate your used vehicle to Good News Mountaineer Garage and get the best tax deduction possible and the satisfaction of knowing your donation changed the life of someone in need. Good News Mountaineer Garage repairs donated vehicles and provides them to qualified West Virginia families, giving them access to employment, safe and affordable housing, health care, and other vital necessities, and putting them on the road to economic independence. Call 1-866-GIVE-CAR today for Good News Mountaineer Garage.
Polka Valley Bank, your community bank, is ready to serve you for all of your banking and financial needs. Polka Valley Bank has been serving customers in your community since 1908. Stop by one of their 8 convenient locations in Elkview, Sissonville, Polka, Winfield, Glendenin, Spencer, Walton, and now Kanawha City, and let them become your community bank. Visit Polka Valley online at PolkaValleyBank.com to learn more about their personal and business services. Polka Valley Bank, where relationships matter. Member FDIC.
Presented by RX by Tel Pharmacy, your neighborhood pharmacy on Charleston's west side. Proud to bring you RX by Pack, a pre-filled pouch system which divides your tablets and capsules into multiple day doses perfectly matched to your doctor's instructions. Learn more at rxbytel.com.
5 minutes away from 10, Sears Monument Hotline, 304-345-5858. Fruit Pharmacy text, 304-935-5008. 580 Live brought to you part by the Thornhill Auto Group, where summer is here, and the Thornhill Automotive Group invited you to Thornhill Ford's Summer Supercharged Red, White, and Vroom Sale. Check out the all-new 2022 Bronco and Bronco Sport, EcoSport, and the Ford Explorer 2, the Red, White, and Vroom Sale. Now Thornhill Ford, US 119 in Chapmanville, online at thornhillford.net. Chief of Staff for the Mayor's Office, Matthew Sutton, is here. Your questions, comments, text or welcome. 304-345-5858 is the phone, courtesy of Sears Monument Hotline, or Sears Monument, I should say, and the text line from Fruith is 304-935-5008. Matt, there was an article in the paper over the weekend about outdoor dining coming to an end on Hale Street. What led to that, and how otherwise is the outdoor dining going in Charleston?
Well, so I think, first of all, I think the outdoor dining in Charleston has continued to be a success since it started to today. You know, it's very weather dependent, obviously, but whenever the weather's nice and people are able to be outside, they still enjoy it. I mean, it started as obviously, you know, to help, you know, deal with the issues of COVID, but now it's just something that's part of every day, Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday in Charleston. And I think people really enjoy it. On Hale Street, it was some of the business owners that were not restaurant related weren't happy with the setup of Hale Street and the impact that it had to their business with the street being closed, and Hale Street being one where it's kind of difficult to get to, absent you know, being able to know where you're going. So the owners of Hale House and Stella's, who are the ones who were doing outdoor dining, decided that it would be, you know, as being good business neighbors and things like that, that they will stop the regular outdoor dining on Friday and Saturday and Sunday. No, they weren't doing Sunday, but Friday and Saturday night. And then if they want to have a big event together, they can do that and set up with the regular city process of slowing down the streets. But in order to be a good community neighbor, they just decided that we'll keep it inside. And if there are times where they want to, you know, have a larger event where they have a band outside or have some other things going on, they can just, which they've done before, they can apply with the city and have it the streets shut down. But I think it was basically them deciding, you know, let's get along with our neighbors and see how this works. And if we decide we want to go back into it next year, they can all work together and come back next year.
As you said, Matt, the whole thing started out during COVID when, you know, dining rooms were closed and there were social distancing issues and things of that nature. But I would imagine from what I have been told that they took something that was a necessity at the time, talking about the restaurants now, and for the most part, from what I understand from what you're telling me, have said, we want to keep doing this.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really the key. I think it's something that people enjoy. I think it's nice to go outside and sit, and you know, plus it gives extra tables, right? So you can have more of a capacity when we see more people downtown now. But it's also just about having an energy and a vibrancy in the city. Of having those, you know, streets shut down and seeing people in the streets walking around. But it is very much used, I think, especially for large parties. People go out there with large groups, and it's a little bit easier to get the outdoor seats than it is inside sometimes.
We had last week on the show the major concert announcement about Reba coming to town. I think tickets went on sale for that show Friday.
I think they sold out on Friday.
Yeah. Tickets were on sale on Friday, right, yeah, for Reba and Terry Clark. I saw some television coverage. I was getting ready for work this morning, Matt, of a giant Lego festival that was held this past weekend at the Coliseum Convention Center. TBT is going to be coming up. He'll probably have Tim Brady on the show with us real soon to talk about that, the basketball tournament. Sure. So a lot of stuff like this is going on in Charleston now.
Every weekend. I mean, every weekend. What they book at the convention, Coliseum and Convention Center, whether it's a sporting event or a basketball tournament or a concert or a, you know, something like the Lego, it's just something constantly going on, and we've not experienced that before. But that was the key. When you put that kind of investment into a facility, you have to have people who know how to book it and know how to run it and can make money off of it. And again, looking at, you know, you make money on a ticketed event, it's very important, but the key is how does that expand into the community in general? And I think Charleston being an area that is so heavily, you know, focused on local business and small business, that having those events just continues to trickle down. And it's really gone well, and it is something exciting. There, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, you would always see this thing of, well, there's nothing to do in Charleston. And I almost right now, it's that just you get to pick what you want to do. I mean, even something like Brian's doing. You want to do line dancing, but you've never been able to? Come on out Thursday nights and do line dancing. So it really has been something that has truly energized our city. And we're looking forward to bigger and better things to come.
Matt, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show, man.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you probably next week.
Awesome. Yep.
We'll be talking about TBT. It's getting closer, so maybe we'll talk about that a little bit next week. We do the show each Monday through Friday from the Parmar Store Studio. If there's not a Parmar Store near you now, there will be soon. Hoppy, the news coming up. Follow the news of the day, WVMetroNews.com. From our producer, Caitlin Murphy, thank you so much. I will see you tomorrow. Till then, have fun and love somebody.
WCHSAM, W243DRFM Charleston, and W283AQ Crosslanes, a WVRC media station. We're proud to live here too.